So I thank Jerry and the worship team for leading us into the presence of God this morning. And as we go before the Lord and ask Him to speak to our hearts, I want you to ask yourself this question as you come before the Lord. Are you truly surrendered to Him today? We've sung about it, but are we truly putting our heart in His hands? Are we really surrendering ourselves completely to the Lord? Let's ask Him to speak to our hearts this morning. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we just thank You so much that You are here in our midst. And Father, as we have gathered here today, Lord, You want to speak to our hearts. So I ask by Your Holy Spirit, would You speak to our hearts today? Holy Spirit, move in each one of our lives so that because we've come here, we've heard the word, we've heard challenges, we've heard about what You're doing around the world through Wycliffe Bible Translators. We've heard already about what's going to happen this summer with the various ministries here and the power up of the children's ministry that's going to happen and those who have stepped forward to resources and everything. Father, we need You to show up in all of this. For apart from Your Holy Spirit working in our lives today and this summer as we look forward to it, Father, there is nothing that we can really do and accomplish that's of eternal value. But Father, when we unite with You, when we join together with You, when we walk with Your Son Jesus each day, then You live in and through our lives in such a way that we touch lives with Your love and Your compassion and Your grace. So, Father, as we look into Your word this morning, help us not to just be hearers of the word. Help us to be doers also. Help us to take those steps like we were encouraged today, to take steps, that next step that we need in our lives to draw closer to You and allow You to move in our lives in such a way that it truly brings honor and glory to You. It truly, as Dave said, is pleasing in Your sight. And it's an offering of sacrifice to You. In the next few moments of quiet, folks, just you talk to God this morning. And you ask Him to speak to your heart individually. Father, we thank You for Your presence with us. Holy Spirit, we thank You for moving and working in our hearts today. Jesus, we thank You for giving Your life and being raised from the dead so that we can truly have new life. It's in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Folks, it's good to be with you here again at East Swamp. And my name is Scott Jackson, and my wife and I, we lead a ministry called Thrive Leadership Foundation. If you want to know more about that, there's brochures and our display in the foyer there for you today. But I want to talk to you about one-hit wonders. You know, I thought about that. I missed the email that came out that told me what this series was about. Till about a day ago. And I had already worked on this sermon and everything, but it's amazing how God does those things and how it fits. And as I think about one-hit wonders, I don't know how many of you have one of those boom boxes still in your garage somewhere. Anybody got one of those? You want to confess? All right, there you go. Yeah, I've got one in my garage too, and it still works. I remember my wife and I, we were at a yard sale a number of years back, and there was a little kid there, and he picked up one of those big 33 records. I know a lot of you don't even know what those are of the younger age, but it's a big 33 record. And he picked this 33 record up, and he looked at it. He goes, "Look, Mom, at this big CD." But as I think about us launching into the summer, and I think about I don't think there's going to be too much rain today, folks. So it's a nice day out there. Enjoy it. We're kicking off this first weekend, officially last weekend of the first holiday of the summer, but we're kicking off summer here in June, and and excited about what your summer's going to look like. And summer's one of those times that you do different things, you know. How many of you are looking forward to getting out of school in 10 days? All right. I knew there would be some hands there. I love to get a hand raised on stuff. You know, it's really good. Yeah, looking forward to getting out of school and what that, quote, freedom you say you're going to have this summer, you know, to do whatever you want to do, right? You know, and we move into the summer and we look at what's going to happen this summer, and some of you are anticipating where you're going to go on vacation and different things that are going to happen in your life. And summer is one of those times that you can sometimes reboot a little bit in our life. And as I think about one-hit wonders and think about where we're going this morning in the scriptures, I want to ask you this question. What station are you going to tune your life into this summer? Now, you may do that on your phone, or you may do that in some other way through your computer, but the question I have is, what station are you going to tune your life into this summer? And are you willing to change the channel to see some different realities happen in your own life? You know, often we have those default things in our life, those tendencies in our own lives that just kind of, you know, it's just the way we do things. The question I have for us this morning is, are we willing to change the channel? Are we willing to mix it up a little bit? Or are we going to play the same old tunes? We sang this morning, it says, "We surrender all to you. Do what you want to us." Do we really mean that when we sing those words? Have we truly put our heart in His hands as we sang about this morning? I love the power-up video. That was great. I can't imagine what God's going to do through that with the children in a few weeks here and how God's going to use that. But you know, are you really plugged into Jesus, as it talked about? Two things that really stood out to me in that power-up video. It said that they're gonna, you know, they're gonna know God, and they're gonna know Jesus. I liked what it didn't say there. It didn't say they were going to know about God and they were going to know about Jesus. You know, we know a lot about God and a lot about Jesus, but that's not what a relationship with God is all about. A relationship with God is about knowing God and knowing Jesus. It's about this intimate relationship, this intimate connection that we need to have with God each and every day in our lives. And are you willing to tune the channels of your life a little bit differently this summer so that you get to know God better, so that you get better intimacy with Jesus Christ, and you get more connected to Him in your life each and every day? That's what we do with Thrive Leadership Foundation. That's what Thrive is all about. And Thrive is about how we are going to lead our lives each and every day, living and leading our lives from a renewed and an empowered life in Christ. We get that from John 15:5. And John 15:5 simply says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit." Now, sometimes we stop there. We like that idea. Oh, Jesus, I want to see how much fruit you're going to bring about in my life. I want to look at the fruit and the outcome of my life and what that's going to look like. But we miss the last part of this verse. It says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." What does the word "apart" really mean? It means at a distance. Apart from Jesus, at a distance from Jesus, you can do nothing. That's each and every one of us. Each and every day, we need to stay connected with Jesus in our lives. We need to walk close with Jesus in our lives. We need to be pursuing our relationship with Him in our lives each and every day, because we need Him at work in us so that He can do His work through us. Apart from Jesus, at a distance from Jesus. So the first question I want to ask you this morning is simply this. How close are you to Jesus today? What's your relationship like Him work? Is it like a business associate? Is it like a stranger you meet on the street once in a while? Is it like the neighbor that maybe you wave over the fence from time to time with? Or is it someone who's living in your home day in and day out, who is walking with you throughout the day, each and every day, who is existing with you all the time, and you're aware of His presence in your life? That's the kind of relationship that Jesus wants with us each and every day. By being in his word, by allowing him to minister in and through our lives, by allowing him to fill us in such a way so that we can overflow with his love into the lives of other people that he puts in front of us that we need to love each and every day. I read some things recently and with a ministry that we're connected to. And it talked about the struggles in life that we find ourselves today. You come to the end of a school year, coming into the summer. Can you relate to any of these struggles that you might be facing today? A struggle of just being tired? Feeling like your life is too busy? Feeling like, does anyone really care? Does anyone really value me in their life? Maybe some of you feel underappreciated for what you do. Some of you may be asking the question, is this all there is in life? I mean, what's really the point? What's the purpose? Some of us feel overwhelmed. Maybe we're anxiety-ridden in our lives. Others feel that their life goals just aren't being met and that life is slipping through their fingers. And, you know, whether it was goals for themselves personally, for their job, for their family, for whatever they're involved in, that those goals just aren't being met. Some of us can feel like we're living a hollow life, like we're doing all the external things as a follower of Jesus, but inside, there's no real connection with Jesus going on. We just kind of feel hollow and empty, and sometimes we feel like we're just posing as a Christian. Some of us are just looking for that secret sauce, that special sauce that just makes life vibrant, that makes life come alive, just like a particular food you eat at a restaurant and you go, wow, what is the sauce that they get on there? Oh, it's a secret sauce. We can't tell you what that is. You know, it's that secret sauce. And some people, spiritually, we're just looking for that secret sauce. Well, let me tell you something, folks. I'll let you in on a little secret. There ain't one. There's no secret sauce. The only secret we've already given you in this verse here, and it's staying connected with Jesus. It's choosing to stay connected to Jesus each and every day. It's choosing to develop that relationship with Jesus each and every day so that you get to know him better and better and better. And so that he can speak in and to and through you in your life. I was reading through the book of Proverbs recently, and Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6 is the verse that we're going to stick on today. And just kind of look at and unpack a little bit. And Proverbs 9:6 simply says this: leave your simple ways and live. Now, he's not talking about the minimalist movement that's moving on today and trying to simplify in our homes. That's not what the idea of simple here. I'm not saying anything about that today. That's just that's a movement today. But this is talking about simple as in the idea of foolishness. All throughout the book of Proverbs, it's about wisdom and foolishness, wisdom and foolishness. And the question is, are we willing to leave our simple, foolish ways, our immature ways, and truly live and find life? The picture for leave here is the idea to abandon. To abandon these ways, abandon these simple ways, so that we can truly live lives in a way that honors God each and every day. Are we willing to abandon these simple ways? And these simple ways are just the idea that I just accept anything that comes down the pike. I'm open to all ideas. The word for simple is the idea for openness. I'm just open to whatever's out there in life. And I'm just going to kind of drift along, and I'm just going to be open to anything that's in the culture and anything that's in our world around us. I'm open to all the different things in life that I can step into in my world. And God doesn't call us to be open like that. God calls us to truly live by abandoning that type of a mentality, abandoning that openness to whatever idea and thought and theory is coming down the pike these days, and to be focused on him and focused on the life that he has designed us to live in this world each and every day. Now, it's not always an easy life. Don't mishear me this morning. Life is hard at its easiest. But Jesus came, and in John 10:10, one of my favorite verses that simply says this: I have come to give you life, and life to the fullest, life to abundance, life in a way that you've never experienced it before. That's the life that Jesus promises to us each and every day. He doesn't promise us a fun life every day. You notice it doesn't say that. But he promises life to abundance, life to the fullest, to live life the way he intended it to be lived. That's what God came to give us each and every day. And so if we're willing, if we want to experience this life that God has for us, we need to leave behind these foolish ways. We need to leave behind these ways that we've just kind of lived life drifting along and flowing along and this busy life that we find ourselves in. I know none of you guys feel like you have busy lives, but you know what? That's the catchword I hear everywhere. Is, oh, my life is so busy. In fact, some people identify themselves. How are you doing? I'm busy. You know, you identify yourself as busy. Think about that. What is that saying about our lifestyles? And then people continue to tell me about how, man, I just wish my life wasn't so busy. Well, there's choices that we can make, folks. And God has given us the ability to make those choices. And God desires us to make those choices. Because a busy life is a life that isn't making choices. You're letting everybody else fill your schedule with what they want you to do for them. Instead of saying, what does my Savior want me to do? If we're abandoning that way of living, then we're opening ourselves up and surrendering and saying, okay, God, you fill us with what you want in my life. You fill us with what you want in our schedule. And let me encourage you with this. I want to read a statement from you out of a devotional I read recently. It comes from 270 A.D., it comes from these guys called the Desert Fathers. I didn't know much about the Desert Fathers until I read this devotional. And it was amazing. These guys were followers of Christ who decided to go out into the desert. They were monks. They wanted to go out into the desert to get away from the world in which they were living. And look what it says about them. It says, society was regarded by the Desert Fathers as a shipwreck. Does that sound familiar? You know, we think our society and our culture today is a shipwreck sometimes. Oh, man, everything's a disaster. The world's a disaster. And there is lots of evil going on in the world. Yes. But the world has been like this almost from the beginning. It says that the society was regarded by the Desert Fathers as a shipwreck from which each single individual man had to swim for his life. These are men who believe that to let oneself drift along, passively accepting the tenets and values of what they knew as society, was purely and simply a disaster. This observation leads us straight to the core of the problem. Our society is not a community radiant with the love of Christ, but a dangerous network of domination and manipulation in which we can easily get entangled and lose our soul. The basic question is whether we as followers of Jesus Christ have not already been so deeply molded by the seductive powers of our dark world that we have become blind to our own and other people's fatal state and have lost the power and motivation to swim for our lives. Let me tell you what, folks. We have the power and the ability to swim for our lives from the culture around us. We don't have to accept the foolish ways of the culture around us. But as we swim away from it, it's to get ourselves on solid ground in our relationship with Jesus Christ so that now we can step back into this world which is swirling around in disaster and we can begin to rescue and pull other people out from the devastation that's around us each and every day. And you see, that's what God calls us to. That's how God calls us to step into people's lives each and every day. And he wants us to live lives of leading into the world around us. He doesn't want us to live accidental leading lives. He wants us to live lives of intentionality as we live and lead in the world in which we've been placed. Every one of you here today is called to be a leader. And you first got to lead yourself. That's where it begins. You need to lead yourself and you need to take steps for yourself because you can only give out what you've begun to experience in and of your own life. We all have opportunities to influence people around us in this world in which God has placed us. We all have opportunities to step into people's lives around this world where God has placed us. But it begins with you and me leading ourselves, knowing who we are, and then stepping into the world around us and saying, this is how I'm going to need to lead my life to bring honor and glory to God each and every day that I live. So we have choices today. We can leave our simple ways and abandon those simple ways, or we can just keep flowing along in the same drift, flowing along in the same current, flowing along in a way that everybody else is going and just say, well, that's where everybody else is going and I'm just going to float along with them. Or you can make a change in order to live the way God's intended you to live. We did some surveys, and Lynn and I, over the last year and a half, 2 years since we've started Thrive Leadership Foundation. And when we do opportunities to speak in different places, we sometimes do a stand-up, sit-down survey, we call it. And some of you here at East Swamp have participated in some of those with us when we did a couples night one time. We've kind of collected some of the results of the surveys. And the interesting part about that, as we look at these results, it's kind of interesting of the desire that we have in our hearts, and yet somehow that doesn't become a reality in our lives each and every day. Listen to some of these. Of the people we surveyed, 96% of the people we surveyed said, and a lot of these times it was we were surveying couples in those situations, so please understand some of the questions. But 96% of the people wish they could be a better partner for their spouse. 96% of the people wish they could be a better partner for their spouse. 90% wish they prayed more often. That's one of the common things I hear. Oh, Scott, I need to be praying more often. I need to be in God's word more often. If you want to be in God's word more often, we need to take some steps to get in God's word more often. Others have said, 82% said, I wish I knew what to do to be better, to be a bit, I wish if I knew what to do to better my marriage, I would do it. Others have said, 80%, I have had thoughts that I failed God. 75% have said, my mind races about everything else when I try to spend time alone with God. I know none of you have that trouble. I gave you about 15 seconds of silence in that prayer this morning, and I know you. Some of you were thinking about, hey, that ceiling fan's making a noise up there, and it's ticking around. I know, I heard it. Some of you heard it too. See, we get distracted by all sorts of things around us. 50% of the people feel they're lonely and wish they had a close friend. Any of you feel that way? 30% battle with depression more often than people realize. 30% struggle with anger towards their spouse and their children. And I love this last one. 15% lied on this anonymous survey. Notice what the question said. I have lied on at least one of these questions for fear of judgment from others or sheer embarrassment. Now, did they lie about lying? I'm not quite sure how to answer that one. But the reality is, they didn't feel it was a safe place to share what they're struggling with. We all need safe places to be able to share. We all need to be a safe place for others to share also. And when someone shares, it means you keep your mouth shut. Not just then, but after you depart one another. That's how you be a safe place for someone. But what that survey tells us is that there are different realities that people really want in their lives. The question is, how do we get there? I want to share with you a little visual this morning that maybe will help you begin to make some things, because God wants us to leave these simple ways, abandon these simple ways, and he wants us to truly live. It's a little simple way. It begins down here at the bottom with our tendencies. We all have tendencies in our life. We all have things that we do just kind of not even thinking about it, whether they came from the way we were born, our nature, or whether they came from our nurturing, the way we grew up, the way we were educated, from our parents. I do things the way my grandparents did things, the way my parents did things, and I can drive my wife crazy with some of those things. If you don't believe that, she's back there. You can ask her this morning, all right? We all have tendencies in our lives from our nature, the way we were born, from our nurturing, the way we were grown up. And those tendencies lead to patterns in our life. They lead to habits in our life, we can call them. And that's the journey of our life, because the journey of our life is made up of our patterns and our habits that lead to actions in our life. And those actions, you know, the actions in your life and the actions in my life, what do they lead to? Consequences. And those consequences will lead to a reality then, whether it's good or bad. And if you don't like your reality, you need to begin walking the whole way back to your tendencies and say, hey, how did I get there? Like, if you want to have more time alone with God and you want to spend more time in prayer and that's the reality that you want, you know what you have to do? You have to go clear back to your tendencies of not allowing other people to fill your schedule, but getting prayer on your schedule first in your calendar or however you do your scheduling throughout your day so that it has priority and you're spending time alone with God. If there's things that you want to change about your marriage and you want to see your marriage grow and you want to love your partner better and you want to be a better partner to your spouse, then you need to go back and say, well, what am I filling my head with and what are the tendencies in my life? Am I just drifting along in life, just going along with what everything's going on around me, getting my marriage counseling from Disney and from other things that are on the internet or TV or whatever, instead of going to the Lord and going to the Scripture and saying, hey, what does it look like to be a marriage partner and how do I need to be a better marriage partner? You know, our tendencies are to just drift along though, aren't they? And our tendencies are to just do whatever in life. I have a tendency to pile things in the house, all right? I can pile them on the steps going upstairs to my office. I can pile them on the dining room table. I can even pile them on the island. Any of you, you don't have to confess that this morning. I'm a piler, whether it's paperwork, whether it's mail that comes in. And then, God forbid, my wife move a pile. My life has gone into a disaster. And you know what happens? Then I start getting angry. Oh, no, I get frustrated with a smile, because that's the Christian way to do it, right? I don't really get angry. I just get put out and frustrated with a smile. What happened to my pile on the island? Stupid things, right? But it's a tendency I have. And I need to realize if I want to change my wife's reaction a little bit to my stupidness, even though that's a curse word in my house, if I want to change my way, if I want to change some things here, it's about me. It's not about my wife. It's not about Lynn. It's not about she's got an issue with piles. It's about me. It's about my tendency. My tendency is just to leave things like that there. But if I change my tendencies, oh, I see I'm hitting too many things here this morning. The first crowd really wasn't into this as much as you guys are. This is fun. But if I need to look at my tendencies. Because it brought up anger in my life. Now, I know none of you struggle with anger out here. And like I said, my anger that I struggle with is just nice frustration with a smile on my face. But everybody in my house knows when Dad's not happy. But then I read a verse like James 1:19. It says, I want you to all take note of this, James says. We all need to be quick to listen. Slow to speak, slow to get angry. And this next phrase has really hit me, because man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Wow. That's speaking to Scott. You see, we have to take a hard look at our tendencies. And we sometimes want to excuse him. Lynn and I had this friend, Bruce, that we worked with. Bruce was a nice guy. He was kind of a happy-go-lucky guy. But all of a sudden, he'd become a big green Hulk, and he would just lash out at someone that treated him wrongly or treated a friend of his wrongly. And I kind of look like, Bruce, what in the name of sense are you doing? Just the way I am, Scott. Just the way I am. I said, that doesn't have to be just the way you are in Christ, because that's not a Christ-like reaction. You see, we want to excuse it. Well, that's just the way I am. You know what? Our tendencies are the way that we've come by nature and nurture, but we don't have to continue to make choices along those lines of our tendencies in our lives. Some of you have a tendency to pop the balloon of everybody's idea in your family around you. Some of you are a wet blanket on ideas in your family. Some of you are always looking into the future. Some of you are always living in the present. Some of you want to struggle with things when they change. Others of you want to change things, and then before that even changes, you're changing to the next thing. You have one idea after the other, and you never finish the first idea that you were thinking about. We have all sorts of tendencies in our life. If you start looking at your tendencies, all of a sudden you start going, oh, wait a minute. You see, if you want a different reality in your life, if you want your marriage different, if you want your life different, if you want things different, now I'm not talking about everything's going to be hunky-dory and fun and cheerful. But if you want to live the life that God's called you to live, we just can't live by our nature because our nature is ugly. We just can't live by the way that we were raised. Well, this is the way my dad did it and my grandfather did it. If it's wrong, we don't need to be going down that road. You might have been nurtured in some of these things, but they may not be healthy for your relationships right now. The question is, are you willing to make some changes? Are you willing to walk away from just going along with the flow, living your life in the simple way, or are you willing to leave that behind, abandon that, as Proverbs 9:6 says, and live the way God has intended us to live every day? The New Testament, especially the Apostle Paul's writings, are full of these things where it says, take off this clothing and put on this clothing. Take off this old way of doing things and put on this new way of doing things. And that's what God has given us. That's what God has empowered us to do by the power of Jesus Christ, transforming our hearts and moving in our hearts and lives each and every day so that we can live different lives every day. So the question for each and every one of us today is, are we going to live our lives in an accidental way? Just going through life with the whatever mentality? Whatever the next thing is, I'm open to all that comes along. I just join in whenever I feel like it. I don't really make decisions and choices. Or are we going to abandon that simple, foolish way of thinking? Am I going to move forward and see what God has for me? I'm not going to read it to you today. I'm going to challenge you to read it, to read the end of Proverbs chapter 9. Probably the last 5 or 6 verses there, and it talks about what the foolish way looks like. And it talks about the foolish one, the foolishness is calling from the street corner, and it's sitting up in a high place where everybody can see it. And say, hey, come and eat and drink. Hey, this is stolen water, and this is things that are not good, but you come and eat, and I want you to be a part of all this. And it says, where does it all end up? It ends up in death. You see, but Jesus has come to give us life, and to give us life to the fullest. As we leave here today, you can use that next step card there in front of you. Because I've thrown a lot of things at the wall today. That's sometimes what sermons are about. We throw things out from God's word. We put truths out. We try to put some flesh on these truths that apply to our everyday life. The question is, what are you going to do with it now? What's your next step? What are some tendencies in your life that you need to go, ooh, I maybe need to take a hard look at some of these tendencies in my life. And not just kind of going through the way I've been raised or going through the way I was born, but looking at life a little bit differently and saying, what does God want me to do with these tendencies? Because as you do differently with your tendencies, and as you make choices in your path of life, it leads you to different actions each and every day. And those actions have consequences that begin to bring a different reality in your life each and every day. How well do you know yourself? We need to know ourselves so that we can lead ourselves. And lead ourselves in a way that brings honor and glory to God each day. Take that next step card. You don't have to hand it in back there, but you can use it to write on. Say, hey, here's the next step. Here's one or two things I need to do in light of what I've heard today. Maybe it's something that you've heard through the music that we sang today. If you were listening as you were singing to the words, maybe God spoke to you in that way. Maybe God spoke to you. I really appreciated Dave's comments on just giving. I thought that was so appropriate when we talk about as we give to the Lord, it is a fragrant offering. It speaks about it being a sacrifice as we give to the Lord. And Scripture says about, you know, give a tithe to the Lord. Scripture does not say give a tip to the Lord. You know, there's a lot of Christians that just tip God. They pull out their wallet, pull out the bull field, and they look and say, oh, what do I have in there? Oh, you know, I'll throw that in a plate today. Instead of choosing and being intentional with, hey, how am I truly honoring God? Is that really honoring God with the way that we give our tithes and our offerings? We need to honor God with the way we give our tithes and offerings. How about Wycliffe Bible translators and what they're doing around the world? Do you know that there's 2,000 languages that still do not have the Bible in their language? 2,000. I don't know how many people that represents, but it represents millions and millions and millions of people that do not have the Bible in their own language yet. That's the value of Wycliffe Bible translators. Maybe you can get involved in Wycliffe in some way. Maybe you can come alongside of Ruthie Mumbauer's brother and sister who were there, shared with what was going on at Wycliffe Bible Translators in JARS. How about Power Up? Can you take a, they're called sticky notes, Dave, by the way. Can you get a sticky note back there? Bring in a bunch of napkins, bring in some of the supplies that they need for this Power Up thing that's going on. How does God want, what's that next step in your life that you need to do? Say, oh, I just go past that stuff. Well, don't go past it today. If your tendency is just to sort of go on and go and do your own merry way, let's stop that today. As summer's launching off, and as we think about what God is doing and going to do in our lives this summer, what channel are you going to get tuned into in your life? What station is God going to get to play into your life this summer? Is it going to be the same old station because that's just the way I do my life? That's your choice. You can stay in the same old mode. You can just do things the way you've done them for the last 20, 30, 40, 50, 80 years. Or you can make choices that are different today. You can abandon those foolish ways that you've had. And we all have some foolish ways that we need to abandon. I do, and you do. And we can make choices to walk in the life that God has given. And remember, it all begins with being connected with Jesus. If you stay with Jesus, if you're connected with Jesus, if you remain in Jesus, he remains in you, you'll bear much fruit. For at a distance from Jesus, you and I can do nothing. Let's get the channel tuned into him. Let's make some choices that are different as we look into this summer. And let's then anticipate how God's going to work in our lives in ways that we've never dreamt about. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are always at work. And Father, you are pushing into our lives and into our hearts. And you so desire us to truly live out as we sang earlier, I surrender all to you. You have my heart. I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you my life. As we stood there and sung this morning, Father, may you truly burden that into our hearts today so that we will live our lives differently. We will abandon the foolishness in our lives, the drifting along with all the way our culture wants us to drift with them today. And we will live and we will stand for you in the midst of this world and then rescue those out who are aimless in their lives also, reaching into their lives with the good news and the love and the mercy and the compassion of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great day in the Lord. You're dismissed.
There's nothing like your presence, God.